Movement and ecology. The Brexit vote occurred early in public collections ran at the Tate and preceded everyone merry-go-round, resulting in a change in the permissions of the body within these two gestural spaces, because it marked a territorialization yet to occur and a positioning that displaced them. This is not, however, the kind of displacement that might involve statelessness, nor is it the kind of displacement that lacks roots. It is, however, a movement of and through permission, a disparity between identification, agency, and representation. Migration is a composition in time and space, and it cannot be reduced to pure movement, although it has direction. There is always a to or towards which the body documents, despite its own stating being rewritten through alternative means of documentation. The status of the cross-territorial body, by means of circumstance or choice, with varying degrees of agency, engaged in acts of representational critique, complicates processes of recognition, dependent on the frames that mark its visibility. The spaces which these gestures occupy, the Romanian artist in the Farocchi reenactment and the Polish translators in Schering's composition, do not pertain or lay claim to the sovereignty of the states which frame them, but undertake their own kind of stating, with varying degrees of resistance to claims at political and legal identification. It is here where the body becomes a document of its own forms of displacement. At stake is collective political autonomy. In question are developing practices of citizenship which lay claim to autonomies through hierarchization, on the basis of claims to belonging and differentiations of jurisdictions. Political theorist Wendy Brown accounts explicitly for the cross-pollination of legal and sovereign processes based on geographic autonomy. What she traces is emergent in globalization as a host of related tensions between global networks and local nationalisms, virtual power and physical power, private appropriation and open sourcing, secrecy and transparency, territorialization and deterritorialization. She argues that the rise of neoliberalism affects the tension between national interests in the global market, the nation and the state, the security of the subject, and the movements of capital. Brown chose a parallel process of assertion and decline. Sovereign states continue to assert their importance in the regulation of world order, but growing transnational flows of capital, people, ideas, goods, violence, and religious and political fealties undercut the nation-state sovereignty. These both tear at the borders they cross and crystallize as powers within them. Brown's argument presents this as a counterintuitive move, a detachment of sovereignty from the nation-state that generates border frenzy. There is a further dimension to this, explored rigorously in the work of Hannah Arendt. Arendt's most known contribution to the subject in The Origins of Totalitarianism, her 1951 examination of a paradigm change in modern Europe that sees political communities enter at odds with the power of the nation over the state, charts the emergence of a violent politics of erasure. She outlines a new conception of citizenship that is both bound by political space and open to a post-national, plural public realm. As a theorist of radical democratic citizenship, Arendt's work is not without controversy, notably her paradigmatic relationship between the social and political. Although this is not something I want to touch on here, it's relevant to note that Arendt's conception of the social is historically grounded, as scholars Sayla Ben-Habib and Patricia Owens have shown, emphasizing Arendt's notable use of political as a fundamental human activity not reducible to the nation-state. Her conception of the social is closely connected to her theory on citizenship. It is by means of this that her call to the right to have rights might be understood. This pertains to both membership within a political world that enables visibility and participation, closely conceived as a matter of belonging to organized communities in a plural political space. Arendt's own political examinations stem from a personal relationship to statelessness and interweave action with concern for the political public world. And I think there's a poetics of care in Arendt's conception of the possibilities of a new construction of belonging that does not dismiss boundaries of political space, but transgresses the nation-state's administration of rights. Both Brown and Arendt speak to late modern colonization as giving rise to new forms of governmentality, which see policing and blockading at the face of an impossible bounded territorial conception of citizenship and affiliation. Territoriality and citizenship are complicated by the wider tensions between emergent economic and cross-territorial political phenomena and domestic policy. In our case, it's possible to understand these as bounded concepts of mobility and labor, enacted for and by means of a fluid economy, in the case of the European Union, of mutual benefit, at least in theory, circumventing and complicating simple ideas about migration. On the surface, this mobility, which is in itself highly legislated, seems cross-territorial, but it is nevertheless managed by means of accession, pertaining not only to what the nation-state legitimates as belonging, but also the rights that come with that. The kind of material geographies that blend and are constructed by neoliberal policy. This in part pertains to questions of citizenship because EU citizenship entails directly effective legal rights, which can only be restricted by means of a principle of proportionality. A report by the University of Oxford-based think tank Migration Observatory, dating back to 2014, on EU citizenship and free movement in the UK elaborates. Only individually assessed risks to public policy, public health, and public security are permissible grounds for refusal of admittance, and at least on paper, integration of member states leads to greater security of residence. Current UK practices, argues the report, are in tension with the fundamentals of EU citizenship because of their reliance on self-sufficiency, particularly in the areas of deportation or permissions of residence. And at the same time, the project of EU citizenship does not necessarily put forward a nomadic conception of freedom. It remains embedded in bounded disputes between political legitimacy, agency, and domestic interests, at odds with neoliberalism, which also constitutes a more divisive concept of individual agency, and with hierarchies of value within its own political communities. So Eastern Europeanness does not, despite its common political and cultural use, mean equally distributed political agency, shared racial or ethnic identity, or even consistent territorial affiliation. As recent studies in European migration have shown, most often Eastern Europe is a means of counter-identification that serves as a social argument for stricter immigration control. The increase in strict border regimes is anecdotally attributed to a larger influx of population and their movements, in which different forms of migration are often conflated. Again, a kind of meteorological poetics that emerges in their own representation. And of course, the selective nature of border regimes occludes the specific conditions often imposed on groups that gain cultural homogeneity in their representational value, but are characterized by legal disparities. Woven into this representational poetics of Eastern Europeanness in the UK is a discourse that pertains to its most public presence, notably the media. According to the Migration Observatory, the top nouns used to describe Romanians in tabloids and newspapers are abattoir, gang, migrant, followed by criminal, woman, and gang. Top verbs are move, come, arrest. And in reference to the Polish, whose history of migration to the UK predates the country's accession to the EU, more narrative depictions tend to take precedence, for example, the Great Eastern European Tide.